Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Greetings, gentlemen. Welcome to yet another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. As always, I am your host, Scott McKay. You can find me at Scott McKay on just about every social media platform out there, including now on YouTube. YouTube has adopted handles much like Twitter and other platforms have, and you can find me at Scott McKay on YouTube. With me today is a new friend of mine. She hails from the Minneapolis, and she is the president and chief matchmaker at a firm called Luma Search. So her business is matching women with the right man. She does it all day long professionally. Her name is April Davis. Welcome, April.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, do you have a sister named May and June? Triplets?
No, not quite. I do know an April named April May March. So that's kind of close, but that's
April May March. That's a little bit out of order.
Yeah, but that's how it worked out, I guess.
Yeah, they could have gone the January Jones route.
Yeah.
Named her January, March, January, February, March. That would have been perhaps even more awkward, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they are weirder names, though, I suppose, or symbols.
Well, I guess there are. The artist formerly known as January, February, March.
There you go.
That would probably be where she ended up anyway. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a topic that, you know, you and I were talking about this before we clicked record on this episode. I'm not sure we've covered this topic specifically ever in like 330 shows, but it is an important one and you'll know exactly how to talk about it. You'll be an expert. And the topic du jour is, of course, what women are looking for. Now, if they've lost their car keys, I'm sure that's first on their mind. If their dog has run away, I'm sure that's second on their mind. But of course, what we're talking about here, and which will be most important to these guys listening, is what women are actually looking for in a man. Because I think there's a lot of, well, confusion about the topic out there, April, and perhaps some cynicism too, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole Me Too movement really put a wrench into the dating world and just who's supposed to, you know, go after who. And yeah, it is confusing, I think, for people.
Yeah, I think if you bring a wrench into the dating world, you deserve a Me Too post.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep the tools in the tool belt. You know, it's more attractive that way, right?
It might get you in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I think from the cynicism perspective, you hit the nail on the head, which of course would involve another tool, a hammer. I already see a theme flowing here. I'm not sure I like it. I'm not sure we're going to
just don't turn into a tool. Then okay. We'll be okay.
You have my solemn promise that I will not do that.
Okay, great.
Because after all, women aren't looking for tools.
Yeah, that is true.
They're looking for men who can use tools, but not who are tools. Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, there's so many different ways we can go with this one, but yes.
Well, let's go in the best direction I can think of to go with this. I think a lot of the cynicism guys feel towards answering a question like what do women want, or even exploring the answer to it, which we are bravely doing today, April, is not only about, you know, do these women really just want to nail me for being heterosexual and no matter what I do, if I'm attracted to them, it's a bad thing. I think they're just really fed a storyline sometimes that women pretty much are, well, they're really shallow. They really just want a man with money and who will do things for them and take them on shopping dates. And it seems like there's a fear of shallowness on the part of men towards what women would want from them. Am I only a walking ATM machine to this woman? Am I some sort of mule who provides for her and protects her with nothing given in return? But you know what? Before I let you riff on that, because I'm sure you're champing at the bit too, that isn't gender specific. There are plenty of women out there who think men are just going to use them for sex and that's all they're about.
Right.
I mean, what is the state of this cynicism in the real world out there as you talk to men and women? Is there anything really that men should be worried about or at least watchful for? Or is most of this mythical and you basically work with very nice women?
Yeah. I mean, of course, there is a subset of women that are looking for the wallet and they're definitely interested in somebody that is going to buy them a purse. And there's certain areas of the country that's known for that more than others. But I would say that men are equally as shallow because they're, of course, they want to be attracted to the person that they're going to be with. And so they're looking at photos, and the physical is a lot more important to guys than it is to women. I mean, women will, I mean, guys can grow on a woman, whereas men, they need to be attracted to her right off the bat. So, you know, I would argue that's kind of shallow too, but it's just the reality. You know, this is the world that we live in, and, you know, we're animals at the end of the day. And what it really comes back and down to is, I think that women are looking for more than just financial security. I mean, that is a form of security. So I always say that women they want security, and it comes in a couple different ways. It can be emotional, and, or it could be physical as well. They want somebody that can protect her. And then, of course, financially, that is a really big form of security. Can they provide for the family? Can they, you know, be able to make sure that they're taken care of? And, you know, it sounds terrible, but I feel like in some ways, in some relationships that I see, it's in a way, it's transactional. It's like, okay, so you have this guy who, he brings this girl on all these trips, he buys her stuff and does all these things, but, you know, she's 20 years younger than him, and she's an Instagram model, and she's, you know, gorgeous. So they're both getting something from the deal. And yeah, it is transactional, unfortunately, but, you know, to each their own, and that might work for them. For, you know, it might be for just a short time, or it might be long term. You know, every relationship is different. What people are looking for is different. As long as people are aware and they're adults about it, I think that it's okay. You know, because I have had some clients that will tell me, yep, they want to date somebody 20, 30 years younger than them. They don't care if she works. You know, they don't care what she does. She just has to look a certain way, and yada, yada, yada. Well, I mean, that's his prerogative. But if he's going to tell me, oh, but she can't be, you know, like a sugar daddy type, or looking for a sugar daddy, it's like, well, what are you offering her? Because, you know, this girl is a 10. She can date guys her age that are, you know, also really good looking. And, you know, you have to bring, you're obviously bringing something to the table, and that's that financial security. So does that make sense? I just went on a tangent.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't think that was tangential at all. All of that is integrally related to what we're talking about here, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. You brought up several points. The first one is, you know, when it comes down to this idea of a transactional relationship, who are we to tell people that's not what they're looking for? I mean, right. You see it in Hollywood relationships all the time. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, during the last presidential cycle, the Trumps were widely suspected to be in a transactional relationship, you know, mm-hmm. which didn't sit well with some people, and some other people didn't care, you know, let them do what they want. Mm-hmm. But if people are interested in the same thing that their potential partner is interested in, mm-hmm. who's really to stop them? And who are we to say that's not a good thing or a bad thing? Now, the caveat there is, of course, I personally believe that a relationship with more depth, where we actually are best friends, we like each other, we pray to the same God, eat the same food, vote for the same people, have a lot in common in terms of what our values are built on, tends to be a more fulfilling relationship than, you know, your arm candy and I'm a multimillionaire. But Right. Some people aren't into all those things that I'm into. And you know what I mean?
It's priorities. And I mean, we all have different histories, right? So we're like, sometimes people date to a pendulum. So at one point, maybe say, for example, if we're talking about Trump's, okay, so maybe Melania dated, or she was really poor growing up, so she's had that history, and she wants to do anything she can to stay away from that. So she's going to swing to the other side of the pendulum, and that's where she feels safe. And that's, you know, that's important. It's what is meeting her needs at that time, you know. And some people might, you know, have a relationship like that, and then they go, oh, okay, well, after that ends, they're going to try to find somebody that's maybe a little bit more in the middle and has a little bit more depth, and, you know, they can align more on other values aside from just, you know, financial and physical looks and stuff. But like, yeah, it's depends on where people are at and what, you know, what their needs are at that point in time. You know, everybody, I mean, I think we're all like a work in progress, and some people learn from their past relationships and others continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. And I feel like it reminds me a lot of, you know, you see a fly trying to get out of a window and they keep bouncing off the window. I feel like there's a lot of people that do that with dating. So they keep dating the same type over and over again. And they're thinking, well, maybe this one will work. Maybe this one will work. And it's like, oh, the reason why they're a type, and there's, you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. So sometimes we have to push ourselves to get out of our patterns and our routines and try dating outside of our type.
You know, it's kind of as if Einstein's definition of insanity is actually the common housefly bouncing again and again against the window pane, hoping it'll get out this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. You've rang this bell several times already in this episode that really is just getting rolling. So it deserves to be talked about, of course. And that's the idea of women desiring safety from a man. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of guys, again, look at that cynically going, well, I'm not going to take a bullet for this chick. I barely know her. I'm not going to go out there and kill myself or put my life on the line when all she's going to do is take what I give her and give me nothing in return. Again, a very cynical look at it. But as we often talk around here, you have, on a first person basis, I might add, you didn't need me to even seed the conversation with this information. You know, you've already talked about how women are looking for a man who makes them feel safe and secure, makes her feel protected, not only physically, but emotionally too. Let's talk more about that. What mm-hmm. do women say to you? What is the context that women present that desire in when they talk to you as a
It's more so how it's demonstrated. Sometimes, you know, a confident man is something that I know women are looking for. So that confidence can be derived from all those different things that I talked about too, where somebody that, you know, has a good financial background, or maybe is, you know, really healthy and or has a healthy set of family and friends, you know, those things can lead to someone being confident. And so that's something that women are oftentimes looking for. That's probably most often what they say. And as well as, of course, humor, good sense of humor is another thing. And I mean, I just want to comment to one. You had said that, you know, the guys are sometimes they're cynical, like, I'm not going to take a bullet for this chick. Well, I don't think they, of course they shouldn't. You know, that woman hasn't earned that place. But she's looking at the guy to see, okay, at some point, does he have marriage material? Does he look like he could be a good husband or a good father? You know, is there potential there? And, you know, that's ultimately what they're looking for. And it just goes back. I mean, think about hundreds of years ago, even what were women looking for? And then, you know, that's just it. Exactly what I just described. It's the same thing then as it is today. But now, I mean, there's a little more with like the emotional. People are they're just more intelligent around their emotions. And I guess it's not just IQ, it's EQ as well. All those things. Yeah, one would hope for sure. So there's a lot more factors that go into it. Women are making their own money. They're not, you know, dependent on men financially all the time. So it's different in some ways, but I think at the core, it just comes right back down to, again, security, but in the different forms that security plays. But also, I think men want that as well from women. They want to be able to, you know, go out into the world and do their thing. And maybe they're a CEO and they're having to make a lot of decisions and be on all day. And then they want to be able to come home and relax and have a soft place to land. So they want to be able to just chill and be emotionally in a good place and able to relax and joke around and not have to be on all the time.
I think once again, you hit the nail on the head with the hammer.
You know, good.
Back to being tools again, right? I warned you, you know, about all this stuff. You said you wanted a guy with a sense of humor. You may have found one. All right.
Perfect.
All right. So, but, you know, you talking about this idea of safety and security as a primal one, I think is really, you know, all kidding aside, right on the money, because that is a catalyst for sexual attraction. Men being a hero, having the ability to provide, creating a safe place for women, a safe haven for femininity to live and breathe. And then the woman responding to the man by giving him a soft place to land when he comes home from, well, being a warrior in battle all day. Whether that means being in the military in a real actual war or coming home from being at the office all day, making tough decisions. The primal elements are still there, and they're still what drives sexual attraction, which is what makes it still so tantalizing to us at that primal level. Yet the trappings of how we make women feel secure, or how women give us softness and comfort and play and joy in this first world culture that's so complicated nowadays, you know, may be different from person to person. A lot of that is cultural. A lot of that is based on the kind of things we're into and the pacts we make together as a couple, right?
Don't
you think? Yeah. One of the things you mentioned earlier was the idea of a man wanting a younger woman. Now, I'm going to throw a wrench in your machine. Yeah, let's take out a pair of pliers this time and just twist it. But it's still a darn good analogy for what I'm about to express. I have a lot of guys coming to me, April, reporting that the women are looking for younger men now. They don't want these old guys who are sickly and just lay around lazy. They don't want in their 50s and 60s to have a guy for 6 or 8 years, then they got to take care of him when he becomes a derelict later and can't even get off the couch. So a lot of women are, I don't know, it's almost as if the gender roles have turned a little bit, you know, the stereotypes. If
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, she was the former COO at Facebook. Yeah, she's a multi-billionaire, very successful former CEO of Facebook. Anyway, her husband passed away, and she just remarried a younger, tall, dark, and handsome man. She doesn't need his money. She doesn't need that kind of security from him. So, but I'm sure he brings different kinds of security or different things to the table. And it's just, yeah, it's different because she just has different needs than maybe other women or younger women that aren't as financially secure as she is. And like I said, you know, we all evolve and kind of the pendulum will swing from relationship to relationship. Her former husband was, I believe he was the CEO of LinkedIn or something, if I remember correctly. And so they're both very successful people, but she didn't need that in the next relationship. She's looking for different things. So, I mean, she's just one famous example that I can think of, but there's a lot of them. And yeah, we definitely come across it too. I mean, I think a lot of people want to date younger because they like the energy that a youthful person brings. And then it makes them feel younger. Yeah. I mean, that's one big example. And one thing that I've derived from, I mean, hundreds of interviews that I've done with people. And then also, just the positivity. Younger people oftentimes, you know, they haven't been divorced. They're, you know, they're not super bitter about the world. And so they have a lot of positiveness that they can share, and people will just like to be around that kind of energy.
Well, you know, if someone looks younger and seems younger than their years, the term we have for that around here is deserving what you want. Why should this person who's 60 years old and looks like they're 38 or 40? Now I'm talking to you, John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens. Dude just turned 60 years old. Dude looks 38. Okay. He doesn't deserve to be with an old lady. I mean, I don't know anything about his wife and his relationship. I'm sure it's great, but from a purely practical, demonstrative perspective, were a guy like John Harbaugh single, I don't think he would look bad at all dating a 35-year-old woman because he is so youthful and exuberant and healthy and has so much energy. So when people come to you, I'm sure, you know, looking for a match, and they're presenting themselves as exuberant and healthy and attractive, well, you're going to have an easier time finding them the match they're looking for. You know, going along with that is what you also just mentioned, which, you know, this takes us into the topic of high achieving women, doesn't it? If a woman comes to you and she's a billionaire, she doesn't need another guy's money.
Right.
But the interesting thing you just mentioned about the gal from Facebook and her former husband, those two were peers to some degree in their field. So professionally, she could respect her husband. A lot of times when women are, and you know, you can check me on this, a lot of times when women are high achievers, they have a hard time finding men they can respect if they've achieved so far in their field where they're way ahead of most guys like them. So you get a lot of women who find a guy who they love and respect and cherish and get along with, who is a genius or really talented or really just flat out amazing and a badass in some other field of expertise other than simply making money, being a CEO, et cetera, et cetera. Do you see some of that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, like, so if you're the captain of industry as a woman, you may end up dating a race car driver or a concert pianist or something like that. But meanwhile, one of the stories I like to tell from years ago is the first female pilot for the Thunderbirds, United States Air Force demonstration team. You know, these are badass people. The first female pilot for the Thunderbirds was a married woman. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, how do you find a guy who's a badder ass than you if you're a female Thunderbird pilot? Well, she was married to the guy who's basically the head of the United States Air Force's equivalent of Top Gun. So he was basically the chief instructional pilot for the entire Air Force. Well, hey, she found her guy who was a badder ass than her at what she was into. But I think she could have just as easily married, for example, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and respected him, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that it's necessary, though, for a woman to need someone that's more of a badass, so to speak, because I do get a lot of women that are badasses in their careers, and they're looking for somebody that makes more money or is further along in their career than they are. But I would argue that, you know, why? What is that going to really give you? So now you have two people that are badasses, or they're maybe even competing with each other. Why not find somebody that's your complement? Okay, you're the badass, so why don't you find somebody that is maybe a little more eloquent or gracious, could teach you something about something else to make you as a couple more well-rounded and also support you, you know, as that's to help you to get to the next level in your career, whatever your dreams are. You know, they could provide just a different perspective in life and can help you to just move along, move forward, just like a guy traditionally does. He wants, you know, a partner that helps support him. And I feel like the women can ask for the same thing. Not necessarily that the guy, you know, needs to be just staying at home and keeping the house tidy. I'm saying like somebody that is just the complement, you know, not their twin so much, but, you know, a complement that brings other things to the table instead of just badassery, so to speak.
Well, perhaps we need to define badassery, you know, because I'm not thinking of someone who slays dragons and makes $1 billion necessarily. Mm-hmm. I've talked publicly how I thought Fred Rogers was a badass for being as good at what he does as he was. However, he was no Navy SEAL. So the idea of a complementary talent or someone who can support me as I support them in our areas of excellence in this life, I think is valid, of course. And I would also love to throw on the table right now this idea that a woman needs to be able to respect a man in some way. If he's beneath her in talent, intelligence, and, you know, we can talk about women who are hyper intelligent also, if you want, because I know they struggle. If he's less than, she can't respect him, right?
I would say, yeah, she can find somebody equally as intelligent, but he just doesn't need to be as maybe far along or prioritized his career maybe as much as she has, is what I'm saying. So you gave an example of two people that are very dedicated to their career, and that's, you know, been their priority, so they've got to the top in their careers. I just don't necessarily believe that you need someone. If you're at the top of your career, you don't need to be with somebody else that has prioritized that. Maybe it's somebody that has prioritized, you know, having a good, great social life and fun. And also, you know, they are financially responsible. They're not, you know, they're not losers, but they're not, you know, making millions of dollars a year, because that isn't the most important thing to them. Maybe it's their religion, their spirituality, and maybe family or whatever. You know, they're, like I said, they're bringing a compliment to your life. And so to help you to be more well-rounded, and you might appreciate those kinds of things in them. Versus, yeah, you might respect somebody else that is top of their career, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be in a good relationship, therefore.
Well, I think you and I are on the same page about that. I'm actually reminded of a couple, you mentioned spirituality, where he was an Episcopalian priest. You know, he ran a congregation, decent-sized Episcopal church, and he married a woman who had old money in her family. So suddenly, he was wealthy by marriage. which can get a little awkward if you're in the clergy. You know what I mean? But, you know, this was quite a long time ago, but among the aspects of this situation that I absolutely remember is he did not draw a salary or a stipend, as it were, from the church he worked for because he didn't need it. And yet he and his wife were very happy together. She seemed to respect him. He seemed to be completely okay with the whole situation. I'm not really remembering her as someone who made her own money and was a financial badass per se in the context we've been using it. But certainly she had more money than he did, but because he was, you know, a spiritual man and a leader of a Christian flock and she was of that faith, that's where she found plenty of ways to respect him and their marriage worked very well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Have you ever had a woman come to you and say, I need a house husband. I got everything else taken care of. I need a guy who can basically be the housewife, take care of the babies, and basically be a woman with a penis.
No.
Never.
I've never heard. No, because, I mean, those kind of women, they could just buy somebody that to do that sort of thing if that's what they needed, you know.
Just kind of walk around shirtless. You know,
sure.
Tatum, I mean, or Brendan Fraser.
They could hire a nanny, a housekeeper, you know, cook, all those things. If you know, that's what they need, but more so they're going to be looking for somebody that's intelligent, confident, you know, funny, you know, someone that brings happiness into their life. So, and that's not necessarily going to be someone that can take care of the house and stuff and raise the kids. So I mean, they say they want a partner, you know, women have told me they want a partner. So somebody that might share in those responsibilities.
Well, that's completely different. I think that's perfectly reasonable in first world postmodern society. But of course, in case you haven't figured out already, that was a loaded question.
Yeah.
You know, I have this audience of guys who have heard that women sometimes want that. And I thought it would be a great opportunity for someone like you to laugh out loud at the very question itself, which you did a beautiful job playing along with. Thank you.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
Glad I could help.
Yes. So talk to me about, you know, getting back to our main point here of what women really do want, of the many things you've mentioned so far, one of them that, of course, piques my interest is being funny.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how women define that.
How they define that?
Well, how they define being funny.
Yeah, it is relative, right? Because different people will find different sense of humor funny. Like some people will find people that are sarcastic to be annoying. And, you know, so I've had people describe it. They're like, okay, anyone that thinks that hangover is funny, don't match me with somebody like that because it's just stupid, you know?
Oh, the don't bother women. Oh, we love them. And I'm being sarcastic. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't recognize these lyrics from this song, don't bother. As if that's who their soulmate's going to be, is the one who absolutely, oh my God, I love that song too. And of course, it's like by Coldplay. You know, or Harry Styles or something. There's 0% chance of that. It's unreasonable. It's like the importance of being earnest. Although I will say, I told my buddies, if I could find someone who could do a duet at karaoke with me of Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf, I would marry her. And I think that happened by accident. I don't think it was my primary motivating force behind marrying my wife because she's wonderful in every way. But I think it just happened that the pieces fell into place there because she rocks it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So what would you tell guys in terms of their psychological mindset, their attitude towards exploring what it is women want and maybe not fearing it so much? I mean, obviously, we don't want to saw off our manhood and just try to please a woman being Mr. Nice Guy. I'm sure you've heard women say they want that when they really don't. But what should a guy do in a healthy way to be more of the kind of man who is going to be attractive and appealing to more high quality women? How's that for a way to ask it?
What comes to mind are some of the guys that I know that are the most attractive to women. And these guys are not necessarily doing anything directly towards women. It's just they're working on themselves and they end up attracting these women to them. So they have women constantly giving them their numbers or going up to them, and the women are making the moves. And that's part of, you know, the world that we live in these days. And I think it's good because women should go after what they want, you know, but at the end of the day, the women still want the guys to pursue them. So the woman might make an opening, you know, like to go up and talk to a guy. And I always talk about how women used to drop the handkerchief back in the day, and then the man would pick it up for them and be find an opening to be able to talk to them. But anyway, so I think the key is to work on yourself and all the different ways that will make you, I'm sure you talk about high value guys, right? And it could be, you could be working on yourself physically. Like, are you in shape? Are you healthy? Are you eating right? Are you going to the gym? And doing everything that you can to make yourself more attractive physically. And then emotionally, have you done your homework after your last breakup? Are you just bouncing from relationship to relationship? Or are you actually taking time to reflect, to learn more about yourself? Maybe reading a book or, you know, listening to an audiobook or something about relationships. I mean, if they're listening to this podcast, that's probably an added benefit, but I think there's a lot of, but I think there's a lot of things that people can do to educate themselves more so they can be more intelligent in their next relationship and learn from their past mistakes. Oh, financially too, of course, you know, make sure you have your financial world in a good place, because again, women, of course they want, if they're looking for someone that would be, you know, a father to their children, they want somebody that can provide or can at least be a good partner and help them to meet their financial goals down the road and be able to retire safely at some point in their life. The other thing I would say, like family, friends, your other relationships. Do you have a good circle of friends, maybe mentors, you know, different people in your life that will help to elevate you, and then cut out the bad ones, the people that are bringing you down. They say you are a reflection of the five closest people to you. So how does your circle look? And maybe a lot of us could probably cut some people out that are bringing us down, but those are the people that are going to help to elevate us and make us feel good about ourselves, you know, our relationships ultimately at the end of the day.
Well, given the way things have gone post-COVID socially in this world, a lot of guys are out there going, quick, find me five people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because they have nobody right now. Yeah, I mean,
right.
Several things. First of all, it started feeling there like you were bringing this full circle to women really just want a guy who's financially successful. But that isn't what you said, and I want to make that clear. What you were bringing it around to, well, was an idea of being well-rounded.
Yeah,
you know, a guy has to have a lot going for him if he wants to find a woman who equally has those things going for her. So I think, you know, the whole idea of deserving what you want really does come to the surface here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I do think nowadays, they are a little lost, wondering who's out there for them, who they're looking for, and who is going to be the right person for them. And I kind of reflect what you've been getting at this whole show, April, which is, you know, you be the best version of yourself. You do you. You find someone who is going to reflect your values, be your best friend and your lover at the same time. And, you know, you have a much better chance at finding someone you match with. Right on?
Yeah, I would agree.
Definitely. So I want to point you guys to April Davis's company, LumaSearch.com. She matches great men up with great women all day long. You can go to a special URL I set up, which is www.mountaintoppodcast.com/April, A-P-R-I-L. And that will magically teleport you to LumaSearch.com, where you can find out about April, her team, and her company and her services. April Davis, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a fun conversation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And gentlemen, if you have not yet been to mountaintoppodcast.com or haven't been there lately, we made some changes. The first one that I want to talk to you about is our monthly masterclasses and my brand new program, Unsettled, are both there for you. You can also get free ebooks, including my first book, Deserve What You Want, Sticking Points Solved, and Dealing with Breakups, all by visiting mountaintoppodcast.com. And you can get on my calendar to talk to me free for 25 minutes about what's on your mind in terms of you getting the best women you can into your life and living a better life with that great woman in your life. All that and so much more is there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com. While you're there, please visit our illustrious sponsors, which include, as always, Origin in Maine, Hero Soap, and Keyport. All of those fine folks deliver the very best products in their respective categories. They will make you feel like a man, and, well, you know what? They're just very manly products in general, which is why they've been longtime sponsors for this particular podcast. When you do business with either Origin & Main, Hero Soap, or Keyport, use the coupon code MOUNTAIN10 to get 10% off. All those links are there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com as well. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X&Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.